But look what verse 9 says. I even heard President Clinton, when he was president, quote this verse when he come to office. He didn't say, as it is written, but he says, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them. Now, he didn't read all that. He cut out a few pieces. But I want you to look at what that verse says. But as it is written, if it's written, it's forever settled in heaven. It cannot be changed. Eye has not seen. Ear has not heard. Neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. Wait a minute. Do you love Him? Is He your Lord and Master? Then you're looking out there. You're listening. You go to church. You hear a preacher preach. You read the Word. But eye has not seen, and ears have never heard the things that God has prepared for you and me. So how in the world are you going to learn it? I remember one of my pastors I used to have in the Baptist church, his wife's favorite scripture was 1 Corinthians 2:9. I heard her quote that verse, I'll bet you at least 50 to 100 times. One day I asked her, I said, ma'am, do you have any idea what the next verse says, verse 10? She says, no. I said, that's exactly what I thought. But look what that next verse says. But God, not you, not the wisdom of the world, not your eyes, not your ears, but God has revealed these wonderful things that He's prepared for us by His Spirit. He has revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man. No man knows the things of God, but the Spirit of God. He knows everything. If you don't get in this book, and you don't study this book is spirit. This book being God, as you read and study this book prayerfully, as you read this, just like Kim said a while ago, she read something and it jumped off the page at her. And for the first time in her life, she knew these things belong to me. Now, how many times maybe she had read those before in her life? Nobody knows. How many of you have been just like me? You've read things over and over and over, dozens, hundreds of times, got them underlined and highlighted, Tom. But it's never become a revelation to you. And one day, the Holy Ghost says, it's your time. And He reveals it to you. You get on drugs and alcohol. How many times have I had people come everywhere? Over my life, in the last 10 or 20 years of my life, I've been in elevators. I've been in rooms, I've been in Home Depot, I've been in businesses, I've been on airplanes, I've met people sick and afflicted and tormented on drugs and alcohol, and they hated what they'd done, but they couldn't change. I said, you want to change? Yes, I'd give anything to change. I've tried everything, nothing works. I said, you tried everything but God. Well, I tried God too, and that didn't work either. I said, that's a problem. You tried Him. I said, you don't never try Him, you do God. I said, when I pray for you, I'm going to guarantee you that devil's going to leave you and you're going to be set free. I don't try God. I do God. Is that right, Jesse?
Yes, sir.
We don't try Jesus. Jesus is not a God you try. You do Him. You believe Him with no doubt in your heart. Too many of us are trying to do it our way, by the ways of man. This young lady needs to be healed, so I know the Word says I can lay hands on her and heal her. Oh, Lord, if it be Your will, please, would You heal this girl? Did you notice she took my hand off of her head? She's smarter than that, isn't she? She's read the book. She's heard me teach it too many times. She don't want no prayer of unbelief on her. She wants a prayer of faith on her, doesn't she, Esther? When we prayed for you when your tumor went away, we didn't say, if it's God's will, did we? No, when your granddaughter was here and had that breast tumor, we didn't pray, if it be your will. We rebuked that thing after she got her sins repented of. We drove it out and it's gone. God understands faith. He doesn't understand unbelief. That's sin. That's what's wrong with us in the church. We don't spend enough time with God for the Spirit to reveal these things to us. The Holy Ghost has to reveal these things to you. Just like Kim. He had a special appointment that day with her when she was in the Word, reading the spiritual food. And when the Spirit was there, she got set free. Just like whenever I've told people, I couldn't tell you how many people in the last 20 years I've seen that was on alcohol, drugs, nicotine, you name it. And they wanted to be free. I said, it's real simple. You just come to Jesus. Joel 2:32 makes you a guarantee. Joel 2:32. Anybody that comes to me for deliverance, I will in no wise turn you away. That's awesome, isn't it? I'd take that Joel 2:32. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall, maybe delivered. Might be. That ain't what it said, was it, Benjamin? And it shall. That's got to be a misprint. And it might come to pass. That must be the way we read the Bible. But the Bible says, the Word of God, which is forever settled in heaven, and it shall come to pass. Not maybe. I didn't say maybe, did it, Ernest? It said shall. And if God said it shall be, come to... That's just like a girl. There was a woman up there I met up there in Baltimore. She was had something, I forget what it was that was wrong with her. And she said, I was praying and asking God to deliver me. And she said, one day the Lord literally spoke to me. And He said, okay, it's free. It's gone. You're free. And she said, I had a load lifted off me. He said, I heard the King speak to me. And she said, I thought, wow, I feel great. This is awesome. And she said, but God, what if it comes back? She said, the Lord spoke to me and said, it's not coming back. If I cast it out, it don't come back. And I thought, wow. Isn't that amazing? Why is it the first thing we think of when God delivers us? Well, what if it comes back? Why can't we just believe what He said and go and take it and run with it and say, Lord, it shall come to pass. That's like Ed Buchanan. I'll even use his name. This happened 20 years ago at least. He walked into my Sunday school class one morning. He smelled like a nicotine factory. He walked by me. I thought, whoa, I'd hate to have to sleep with that. If I was a woman, I'd sure hate him to reach over and kiss me if I was his wife. He smelled awful. I said, Ed, you're a son of God. I said, why don't you get rid of that smoking? He said, Thurman, I have smoked for 25 years. I've tried everything that's known to man, and I can't quit it. I said, well, let me tell you. But see, that's pretty common in a Baptist church. We don't know nothing in church today. I started to say Baptist, but it ain't Baptist. It's a church. I know. I mean, I've seen Methodist, Baptist, Pentecostal. In fact, we got a little Pentecostal woman that used to come over here, a little bitty short thing about this tall, and they live off out about Farmerville somewhere, and she heard about this Baptist deacon that's casting out demons and healing the sick. And she gets somebody to drive her over here, and she comes to about three healing schools, and then she brings her pastor over here. She said, Pastor, she walked up to him and said, you need to be ashamed of yourself. This little 80-year-old woman. He said, what did I do wrong? She said, I just been to 3 months worth of healing schools in Dallas, and there's a Baptist deacon over casting out more demons, healing more sick than we are. We're Pentecostal. He's a Baptist. She said, you need to be ashamed of yourself. So he come over to see me. He said, what are you doing? I said, well, I just believe God. That's all I do. I just read the Word and believe it. So see, God don't care. God's not prejudiced. He don't care if you're a Baptist. He don't care if you're a Pentecostal. He don't show no favoritism, does he? You got to please the King. And he don't look at denominational signs, and I'm so grateful. Because if he had, I would have never got what I got because I was one of them little old Baptists that didn't know nothing. You know? But I did start reading his book. And when I started reading, I started believing it. So I told Ed that day. I said, look at this, Ed. I turned that scripture. I said, it shall come to pass that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord. I said, are you a host, whosoever? He said, well, of course. I said, let's put your name right there. And it shall come to pass that Ed shall be delivered in the name of the Lord. He shall be delivered. So I said, in the name of Jesus, I reached up and laid my hand on that boy. I said, you demon of hell, I command you to come out of him. Now, this is a normal, ever Sunday morning thing in a Baptist church. You know, you always see some Sunday school teacher kicking out demons in a Baptist church. You'll never see that, do you? Isn't that a shame? I reached up and laid my hand on him, commanded that demon of nicotine to come out of him. I said, you beast, you're gone. I said, Ed, thank the Lord that you're delivered. He said, Lord, it's written, I'm delivered. I said, guarantee you won't never smoke another cigarette. Well, he had his package right there in his pocket, see? So, Sunday school's over. Creatures of habit, aren't we? Walks right out that door, clears the church door, reaches over, gets one of them things, throws it in his mouth, lights it. What's wrong with that cigarette? Throws that thing down, reaches and get another one. Put it in and lights it, and he likes to strangle to death. He said, I don't know what these things taste. Awful. Who did that for him? The Lord did. The Lord did, of course. He said, you want to be delivered, son? I'm going to make that thing taste worse than anything you ever put in your mouth in your life. And let me tell you, that man never smoked another cigarette. He totally quit that day. But how many times have I seen that? How many times have I seen God do that? I don't even know. But what did the King say there? What did he say? Did he say, shall come to pass? That whosoever... You put your name in there. You want to be free of any kind of addiction. You put your name in and say, Lord, I'm calling upon the name of the Lord, and I will be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. There's deliverance for you. You don't have to be addicted to nothing.
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with a teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website, or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.